Oh, we praise you. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Oh, blessed Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Wonderful Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Have your way here tonight, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Come on in, Lord Jesus. Praise God and be with us here tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Savior divine. Oh, God, I love you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You're brighter than the morning star. Oh, and you're fairer than the lilies that grows by the way. You're sweeter, much sweeter by far. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You're brighter than the morning star. Oh, and you're fairer than the lilies that grows by the way. You're sweeter, much sweeter by far. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You're brighter than the morning star. Oh, and you're fairer than the lily that grows by the way. You're sweeter, much sweeter than you're brighter than the morning star. Oh, and you're fairer than the lilies that grow by the way. You're sweeter, much sweeter by far. just look up and hide away in me. For I will give you rest, oh, and your soul will be blessed if you'll just look up and hide away in me. Oh, hide away in me. Oh, hide away in me. Oh, just look up and hide away in me. For I will give you rest, oh, and your soul will be blessed if you'll just look up and hide away in me. Oh, hide away in me. Oh, hide away in me. Oh, just look up and hide away in me. For I will give you rest. Oh, and your soul will be blessed if you'll just look up and hide away in me. Oh, hide away in me. Oh, hide away in me. Just look up and hide away in me. For I will give you rest. Oh, and your soul will be blessed if you'll just look up and hide away in me. Oh, hide away in me. Oh, hide away in me. Oh, just look up and hide away in me. For I will give you rest.
It's a privilege to be in the house of God tonight. I think it was, I don't remember who it was. One of our visitors, might have been Brother Dave's, Junior Dave's, might have said that this is better than the best hospital in town. Praise God. Well, it's a dreary night, as they say, cold and damp, and I appreciate everyone that's here tonight. There's some that would like to be here but can't be. There are some that are in the hospital, some that are sick. Brother Smith is still suffering with his tooth situation, and then he also re-injured his foot today, and he can't walk. So he's suffering with that. He's hoping to get an x-ray on it tomorrow and covets our prayers. Him and Sister Smith both covet our prayers. And then Sister Crafton's father, Brother Wilson, is in the hospital with congestion up on his heart, and he's having trouble breathing. And so they covet your prayers for him and for Sister Wilson. She's up there with him. Won't leave his side, so covet your prayers also. And it's my understanding, Sister Tally, it's my understanding that Sister Abraham is in the hospital, room 832. She'll be there till tomorrow. Okay. So if you get a chance to call her or go by and visit Sister Abraham, she's in the Baptist Hospital, room 832. Sister Crafton, what room is your father in? 723 at UAMS, right? So we want to be mindful of that. She said he can't talk very long. He gets winded really fast. But, you know, a visit, a card, a balloon or something, flowers would be nice. Same for Sister Abraham. Continue to remember Brother Brett in his recovery. He seems to be ahead of schedule, is my impression. He's happy about that. I am too. I'm happy for him. He was actually looking after Brother Smith's needs a little bit tonight, so let's remember him. Sister Henderson, Donna, has got an infection, and Okay, thank you. She's recovering from her surgery. She's got a lot of internal stitches and is suffering with that and infections. Remember her in prayer tonight. All right. Let's remember Brother Wallace and Sister Wallace. They're in need of prayer. Also, Brother Stewart. Okay, Brother Jerry York and his family, let's remember them. Remember Brother Josh, or Brother Joe Lacey. I'm sure he's working tonight. Of course, remember Brother Josh, too, and his wife, Sister Loriano. Sister Loriano has a special unspoken. Let's remember Sister Inez Watson. Continue to pray for her and her healing. Trust the Lord to take care of her situation. Sister Cindy, your son Nathan Smith, let's remember to pray for him as well as your mother. Just remember my wife's mother, she's suffering and facing major internal surgery, and weighs heavy. You ladies know probably more so than
us men do, but it does weigh heavily on the hearts of their children when your parents are suffering. You feel for them. You feel like your hands are tied sometimes, that there's not a whole lot you can do, but we know a man who can. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Any. A friend of mine, John Brum, just left a VA today from colon problems.
Okay, Brother Daniels. Brother Daniels' friend, John Crum, needs prayer. He's a veteran. Yes, sir, Brother Thompson. Brother and Sister Wallace, yes, they are in dire need of prayer right now. And if you think about it, give them a call also. Text them or something, check on them. Your cousin had a stroke? Okay. This is an 18-year-old?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Just remember her. Young lady had a stroke. Just remember her. I know everyone's probably a little bit tired, and this weather put a chill down in your bones, and it's Wednesday night. It's a hump night. They call it bride night. Aren't you glad for these songs that we had? Kind of get our blood, our spiritual blood pumping. You know, gets us reminds us that no matter how big our problems seem, there's no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. Praise God. And so we're privileged tonight. We're privileged to call upon Him. We're free to gather here as an assembly, as a group of people here in the great state of Arkansas and Little Rock, here on 8101 Colonel Glenn. We can worship the Lord tonight. Praise God. With freedom and liberty. Hallelujah. So let's stand and let's take our needs before the Lord. The ushers will come. We'll receive an offering here tonight. And let's take our loved ones, our friends, our unspoken requests. Let's take them here and let's have a season of prayer just right here. Dear God, oh, blessed Lord Jesus, what great hope we have in You, Lord. God, we know that You see all things, that there's nothing hid from You, that You know the thoughts and intents of our heart. You know our uprisings, You know our downsettings, dear Lord. You know our health, You know everything about us, Lord. There's nothing that You don't know. Oh, God, what confidence we have, Lord, that we know that You'll take care of us, that You'll meet all of our needs according to Your riches and glory. Praise God, that Your will is the best for us, oh, God, in sickness and in health, whatever our circumstance, Lord, that Your will is the best outcome that we could ever hope for. My Lord, we bring our loved ones before You tonight, Lord. We bring these that have been mentioned here tonight, suffering with sickness and sorrow, dear Lord. We bring these that are in pain, suffering with different surgeries and things, dear Lord. We trust, Lord, that You'll greet them, that You'll meet them, Lord, in their circumstance, and that their faith will be strengthened through this ordeal that they're going through, dear God. Oh, God, the Spirit of God would reach down and comfort them. It's the Word of God, Lord, would rise up in their heart and bring hope, Lord Jesus, in their dark hour. Dear God, what a wonder You are, Lord, to us. Oh, hallelujah. What a great joy it is to call upon Your name, to trust You, Lord, that You'll meet our needs according to Your riches and glory. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that You're our hope, You're our refuge, our strength in the time of need, dear Lord. Oh, Jesus, bless this congregation, this town that we live in, Lord. Let us feel Your Spirit here in our midst. Draw us nigh to You, oh, God, and put Your loving arms around us. Comfort us, Lord, and watch over and protect us. Praise Your wonderful name, Jesus. Oh, God, how we love You. Praise God, praise God. Praise Your blessed name, dear Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Shut in with God in a secret place. There in His presence, beholding His face and gaining power to run in this race. Oh,
I love to be shut in with God.
Oh, shut in with God in a secret place. There in His presence, behold.
Someday they'll say the songs that I sing will be old songs, I'm afraid. But that's how it goes. Thank God. That's how it goes. I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm sorrowful. I'm sorry for Brother Smith and his circumstance. I know that he's suffering, and it's I hate that for him, and I wish that, you know, there was something I could do to help help him feel better. And you know, there is something we can do, and that's what we're doing. We're being faithful on the job, and we're, what they say, we're minding the store. You know, and we're to be called, chosen, and faithful. And sometimes the calling is what propels me. You know, it's like the inspiration. I know to be faithful. I know that's the right thing to do. I want to be chosen. But it's that calling. Paul said that, he said that there's been a dispensation of the gospel committed unto me. And we have that, brethren. We have that responsibility to be on the job and to make ourselves available. What they say, the greatest ability a person can have is availability. And, you know, I work for a small company, and we are a growing business, but if I just went in there, I was talking to somebody today about my job, and I said, well, the job I'm doing today isn't the job I was hired on to do. And I'm still doing the job I was hired on to do, but I'm also doing this, and then I'm doing this, and then, you know, and that's what happens. Oftentimes, you change hats. You take on, you know, more responsibility. You mature as a person. You grow in grace and knowledge, and that's growing up. That's part of life. And just, I was thinking about this church. Recently, I was thinking about our location and this property, this building that we have, and how that, you know, how that we've had ministers' meetings here through the years and youth meetings, and how that it's evident to me, and not just me, I know others, that God has a purpose in us having, in us being here in this facility and having, you know, even you look around tonight, there's a lot of empty seats, and the setting isn't quite as tight and close knit as maybe what we would like, but I recognize that in some respects that's our cross, that's our burden to bear, if you will. We carry that burden of this facility for the body of Christ, and there's not many churches that can host God's people like we do, It's our responsibility. It's our calling. It's our calling. And, you know, we've got a youth meeting that's coming up this summer, and we've got, you know, work days that we're going to need to start preparing for and scheduling and clean up and preparation for. And, we'll feel that burden on our back, and it'll get a little heavy, and, you know, we're going to have blisters on our hands, and we're going to have achy feet, and you know, there's going to be sweat dripping from our forehead, and there's might even shed a little blood if we're not careful, and there's things to be done, there's preparation to be made, and that's our our calling. And so we want to be, we're happy when we have meetings, and I'm careful with this word, but I'll say it brings us great pleasure. It has through the years for the body of Christ to gather here under this roof, and we're thankful to be chosen for that, to be a part of that. I like that song, "This Is My Life, This Is What I Live For," just to be with God's people in this hour. And so we love that, to be chosen, to be a part of that, but then there's where the rubber meets the road. It's that faithfulness, it's a matter, you just know that the job's got to be done, that the preparation has to be made, in advance to get the job done, it's a big load to carry. And every year, every time we have a meeting, we sometimes wonder, are we going to be able to do it? Can we? So-and-so used to do this. Now who's going to do that job? And it just seems like the Lord always provides. He always makes a way. He always has provision for the things that are needed. And that's, that's what He does. But He still expects us to be faithful. And it's difficult. It's not a bed of roses. But, life isn't either. Life itself is full of disappointments and frustrations and hard work. Somebody said it's not appropriate to say, but the hard work, is it's just part of life. I was talking to these same people today, and they asked me, what do you do? And I was telling them different things I do, and they asked me, what don't you do? Well, I don't know. That term, "that's not my job," is not in my vocabulary. If I see a need, then let's get it done, or let's figure out a way to get it done, or who can we ask to get it done? Isn't that how it goes sometimes? But that's our responsibility. We're to be called, chosen, and faithful. And I appreciate all of y'all that are faithful here in this assembly and worked under this load. I really enjoyed Sunday night and the inspiration that we received. And I tell you, Brother Matheny, he's 89, I don't know if I've ever seen an 89-year-old preacher get as inspired as him. That was wonderful. I'll tell you, that just thrilled me. And you could tell that it was like, from my estimation, it's like he reached way back in time and found that inspiration that he had whenever him and Brother Foster and Brother Tucker were here looking at this property. And it's just like he reached way back in time and found that same inspiration and brought it all the way back and shared it with us. And it was wonderful. I got so excited, just inspired by that. The way the Spirit of God moved in here Sunday night, and the good fellowship, and just the joyful feeling that we had. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of the body of Christ. And it's something you could tell people about, but as they say, it's better felt than tell. It's one of those things that you can tell somebody about it, but when you feel it, when you feel that inspiration start welling up inside of you, and that love and that conviction and that joy that you found when you first got a vision, oh my Lord, and here it's like it's renewed again. It's like it's fresh again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Wonderful Lord. That's how I felt Sunday, starting just even with the band song. I just felt so joyful in the Lord that I was happy to praise Him. Hallelujah. And There was a tenderness in my heart. I like that song. I think Sister Weiniger sings that song every now and then. I might be wrong on that, but keep a tenderness within my heart, dear Lord, I pray, that I might show love and mercy every day. Don't let a root of bitterness, one moment, not one moment in it stay, but keep a tenderness in my heart. And you know, there's a lot of things to get bitter about. There's a lot of things to get frustrated about. Your old mind will play tricks on you. Sickness will get you down. It'll work on you. And disappointment will creep in. And these things that affect us in such a negative way. And you know, if you're not careful, you'll get around somebody who's also down. And next thing you know, you're both are down. I told a story about this old boy that was getting ready to jump off the bridge and, you know, commit suicide. And a fella come up to him and said, hey, what are you doing? He said, well, I've had it. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm going to jump off this bridge and all my problems are over. And he said, well, here, take a walk with me. And they took a walk around a little bit, and they come back around to the bridge, and they both jumped off. You can have, you know, people that will influence you that way, where you're down, and next thing you know, they're down, everybody's down. I'm not talking about those kind of friends. Somebody said, with friends like that, who needs enemies? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the kind of inspiration that Brother Matheny, an 89-year-old man, get behind this pulpit and get inspired by the Word of God and the Spirit of God and start talking to us about receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost and hewing out this work here in Little Rock, Arkansas. My Lord, even 30, 40 years, 50 years later, he was still inspired by it, praise God. Inspired me too. Praise God. Brother Boyd and I, we were talking about it at lunch, just before service, before that evening service at lunchtime. We were talking about this church and you know, the inspiration that Brother Tucker must have had to you know, and the men that worked with him to come and build this assembly and just to stay on the firing line and just keep working. And I know there was other men that worked in this city and carried this burden, this labor of love, this banner of this Jesus name church, if you will. I'm not talking about a oneness doctrine. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what it means to be in Jesus' name. You know what it means to come in his name. He said, any man that cometh in any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. My Lord, they're taking credit where credit's not earned. My Lord, we're not doing that tonight. We're not coming in the name of any organization or any man-made system. We're coming to you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He told his disciples, he said, rejoice not. He said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. He said, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Thank God. Praise God. We come in the name of the Lord, not by our might, not by our strength, but by God's Spirit. Hallelujah. And he said that the true worshipers of God, true worshipers of God, worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Oh, we need the truth. We long for the truth. We long for the Spirit too. Hallelujah. We have a desire for both. We don't want to be out of balance. We don't want to be hindered in any way. We don't want to be deceived. We want the truth. You know, sometimes the truth hurts. The Bible says that the truth will make you free. And that's the truth. But you know, if you're guilty of a crime, the truth may put you in jail. The truth may condemn you to death. You know, the truth does condemn us to death. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's the truth. The wages of sin is death. If we continue down a path of sin, we're going to die. But the gift of God is life and peace. Eternal life. That's the truth. So we have a choice to make. And he said to buy the truth. We're to buy the truth and sell it not. That means don't trade it. You know, this ain't like marbles. This ain't like baseball cards, Pokemon cards or whatever. This ain't something that you can just trade away. You know, you can't just trade away the truth that you have. I don't understand how people do that. Come in and buy this truth. Forsake it all. The Bible says they forsake all to buy the field, because in the field is a great treasure. They come in here and they buy this truth and this great treasure, and then they forsake it and go out into religion and go out into Free Pentecost and go out into these other places and forsake this truth that they bought. We're to buy the truth and sell it not. We're not to give it away. We're not to trade it away for influence or power or position. We're to hold this truth. We're to hold these truths dear to our heart about and keep them close to our hearts. What's that scripture? There's this in Proverbs. Oh, I won't. I don't even want to try to quote it but I'm not even sure I can remember. Yes, right here, Proverbs 7:1. It said, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye." I've heard the apple of thine eye, Brother Zach. The cornea is the darkest spot, right? That's a pupil, and the cornea is around it, right? And so I've heard the apple of thine eye be described as your pupil. I've heard people describe it like that. You protect it. You'll do everything you can to protect your eyes. Ball comes at your face, first thing you do is cover your eyes. If you're out working, piece of dust, you know, you're gonna protect your eyes. He said, keep my commandments, my law as the apple of thine eye. Now, I know that people would say that's what you treasure. What you hold dear. You hold your eyes dear. That's your vision. By the way, he said, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinsman. And so we're to hold these truths. We're to write them on our hearts. We're to make them, we're to make them a part of our life. I don't recall if Brother Smith, I don't remember if I heard him say this or if I heard somebody talking about he may have said this Sunday when he was talking about the children of Israel training their children and how that they had, you know, their little frontlets and they had different things that reminded them of their ordinances, the laws of their land, of their salvation, their religion. And we're to do that. That's why if you read about Jesus when he was with his disciples, you'll read that they sang songs. The Paul and Peter and the disciples, they encourage each other with songs and hymns. Significance in rehearsing the things that bring. That reminds you of your salvation, the hope of your salvation. And so I'm happy for Sister Brian. I love these songs that you play tonight. I love our songs. I love our music. I'm happy that I love the band. I love this music. I love this way. I love it when a song comes to my mind. I'm working through the day and something clicks, you know, and it just puts a little happiness or joy. You know, or when I'm in a certain circumstance, and Sister Jenny Baker, the lady that brought my family to the body of Christ in 1983, 1984, she used to sing this song, "Hide me, oh hide me, hide me away in your love. Till I am safe in your shelter above. Hide me away in your love." And she'd sing that. And it was meaningful. When she got older in her age, her mind went. And she was influenced, I've told this before, she was influenced by people in the nursing home that were caring for her. Foul language, things like that. But there was probably things that came out that she had learned, you know. You young people, be careful. Be careful what you listen to and put in your mind today, because it'll come out. It'll come out when you least expect it. It'll come out of your mouth when you least expect it. And she'd say things like that. I'd go into her room, visit her, and start singing a song. It wasn't long she'd start speaking in an unknown tongue. The Spirit of the Lord would touch her and comfort her. We're weak. We fall for things. We get intimidated. Humanity's like that. I was reading about, I'll make a little joke a little bit here. I was reading over here in Exodus where Moses went to Pharaoh, right? And Pharaoh, he had a message for Pharaoh that God gave him. So Moses walks in. He's got his staff, his rod in his hand. Moses here in... I should say Aaron's had his rod in his hand. Exodus 7 and 10. And it says that Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. And so, you know, that'd be pretty awesome, you know, to see somebody take a stick of wood, throw it on the ground, it become a serpent, a living being, you know, living, you know. Have you ever tried that? Yeah. Have you ever tried throwing a stick on the ground, see if it becomes a snake? Well, try it. Neth, next time you're out in the woods, pick up a stick and throw it on the ground, see if it becomes a snake. It's probably not going to happen, but it might. Report back to me if it does. So Aaron threw his rod down and it became a snake. And so then Pharaoh's magicians, they did the same thing. Pharaoh's like, what's the big deal? You know, my magicians can do that. So what? You know, that's the way a lot of people are about God. Somebody goes and they say, somebody's sick, you know, and they go to the hospital and they come out of that hospital and they say, God delivered me from the hospital. And then next thing you know, they say, it's a miracle of God. I got delivered from the hospital. You know, whatever my circumstance was. Then you got somebody over here, they go to the hospital, and they get out too. They say, well, God didn't have anything to do with it. So what? You say God delivered you out of the hospital. I just say the doctors delivered me out of the hospital. You say God turned your rod into a serpent. Well, I just say my magicians did. So what? So your God's not very big to me. And that's how, so Pharaoh, that in his heart, he began to get, you know, resistant to believing in God. He had his confidence in his magicians, his sorcerers. And so then the next thing that happens is Pharaoh turns the water into blood. And then, Moses turns water into blood, and then next thing happens, Pharaoh's servants, they did the same thing. Now he's doubled down. Now he's convinced that his servants are as great as Moses' God, you know, in his mind. Now, and I'm thinking, this is about to get ugly, right? So, in the 22nd, verse of Exodus 8, it said, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And so then the next thing that happened was a plague of frogs. And so, let me read on here in Exodus 8. And Pharaoh turned and went to his house, and neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, but they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after the Lord had smitten the river. So I'm thinking here. So Moses, he turned the water into blood. And in a moment of pride, Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing. I mean, if I would have been an Egyptian, I would have wanted to go up to Pharaoh's sorcerers and punch them in the mouth. Hey, guys, you turned the water into blood. What were you thinking? Now we got nothing to drink for 7 days. Well, in a moment of pride, Pharaoh's magicians, they lost sight. They forgot about the suffering of the people. They wanted to be as big as God. You know, that's the way some people are. They'll forget all about their calling. You know, when we was up here praying Sunday night, I heard somebody quote that scripture, the Lord's nigh unto them that are broken and contrite spirit. And in a moment of pride, we'll lose that humility, we'll lose that that recognition that God is that we're nothing and God is everything. And Pharaoh's hardened his heart, so Moses came back in the 8th chapter, and Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let him go, let the people go. And Moses said, all right, we're going to have a plague of frogs. And so Moses, in the 5th verse of Exodus 8, said, the Lord spake unto Moses, and Aaron said, stretch forth thy hand, thy rod over the streams and the rivers and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron did that, stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs also. And I'm thinking, you know, it's bad enough that Moses and Aaron are bringing up frogs. But now you got Pharaoh's magicians doing it too. In a moment of pride, they're all like, well, if God can, I can too. You know, people get that way with preachers. Or, you know, they'll get to thinking that, well, if they can, I can too. And if we're not careful, how about I put it on me? If I'm not careful, I'll find myself mistreating somebody or putting somebody in an uncomfortable position because I've just been lifted up in a moment of pride. The Bible says to put not an office in office, lest he being lifted up in pride. Pride is a terrible master. It'll provoke you to do and say things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. It'll cause you to hurt people, which you wouldn't even intend to hurt them, but you hurt them anyway. What does the Bible say that there's fall cometh before, pride cometh before fall, and destruction before haughtiness, haughty spirit before destruction. Or maybe I got it backwards. They're all tied in there together. But here's the thing, and so Pharaoh, his magicians, they called up frogs too. Well, that wasn't enough. Next thing you know, you got a plague of lies. But this time, I'm sure they were thankful. The Bible says that the lies were so bad that it was like dust. The lice were like dust. Can you imagine? You got dead frogs in piles everywhere. Rotten frogs. Then you got lice that's like dust crawling over everything. And Pharaoh's magicians, they were like, well, if God can, I can too. Only this time, the people breathed a sigh of relief that Pharaoh's magicians failed. They didn't bring up any lies. And then the next thing you know, you got flies. So I grossed out my class. I guess maybe I should do the same for y'all. You got flies, a swarm of flies. You got dead frogs in piles. You got flies coming in. What do flies do in a dead animal? Oh, yeah, it gets real bad. Everything's moving. It'd be like a zombie scene. It would just be awful. And it gets worse from there. Bulls and animals dying and rivers turning to blood and fish dying. It was a bad scene, but there was no escaping it. And they had choices to make. Pharaoh, he made a choice. The Bible says that he hardened his heart, and then God would harden his heart. But every time God hardened his heart, Pharaoh had already hardened his heart. He had already made choice. Where that precedent came, though, whenever he put more confidence in his magicians than he did in God. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. We'll put our confidence in our own strength. Bible says, I've already quoted this, it's not by strength, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's if we want to get things accomplished here today, if we want to fulfill our calling, if we want to be called, chosen, and faithful, we'll find the fulfillment of our calling in the Spirit of God. There's a scripture in the Bible that says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can be happy tonight, even in the midst of our sorrow, even in the midst of our frustrations. We can be joyful. We can be pleasant. We can be thankful for all that the Lord has done for us. We know that this life that we live is not easy. We know that the life that we live is full of, what's that song? Life is a few days of sorrow. A wise man once said. Do you sing that, Sister Stewart? You have before. I'm clothed, I'm fed. And the Brother Smith alluded to that by 70 years by strength. You have a choice to make. We all have a choice to make. I was admiring. I told Brother Phil Fisher Sunday, it was such a nice day when he dedicated his daughter and him and Sister Fisher and had family around them. We have choices to make. All you young girls, you have choices to make. And I would say you old girls have choices to make. Well, that's all right. Everybody likes to feel young, don't they? I do. And, girl at heart, boy at heart, we all have choices to make. And Brother Angelo, I heard him say that the choices you make today will predestine your tomorrow. And I believe that's true. I believe that's true. I believe that the decisions that we make today, If you choose bitterness, if you choose to have more confidence in the magicians of Egypt, if you're admiring the strength of the flesh, if you're putting your faith and trust in the magicians of this world, then you're only going to go as far as they can take you. You're only going to go as far as they can carry you. But if you'll put your trust in God, if you'll put your hope, if you'll put your joy, if you'll put your happiness, if you'll put your peace of mind, if you'll put your comfort, if you'll put your satisfaction in the God of heaven, thank God, my Lord, there's no telling. The Bible says that eye hath not seen, and neither ear heard the things that God hath in store for those whom He loves. Praise God. Don't you know He loves you tonight? He loves us from the old to the young. Hallelujah. He loves even the unlovable. Praise God. He loves us when we don't deserve it. The Bible says that He has so much love that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Praise God. Woo! God loved us so much that He took His prized possession. He took His happiness, His joy, the greatest thing that He found pleasure in. And He wrapped Him up in a little, in swaddling clothes, in a little manger, thank God. And He subjected that boy to the wiles of the world, to the harshness of humanity. He put that child there and made that child feel cold. He made that child feel sorrow. He allowed that child to feel pain. He allowed that child to be corrected. He allowed that child to feel embarrassed. He allowed that child to feel rejected. He allowed that child to witness the sorrow and the suffering of another man and woman and not be able to do anything about it. He allowed that child to see the tears run down his mama's face and not understand why she was crying. He allowed that child to have questions in his mind that nobody could answer. He allowed that child to feel these things that you and I felt. But He also allowed that child to learn that through the Scripture and through prayer, thank God, he could find answers to the questions that he had in his mind, the same that you and I can find. He allowed that child to realize that by lifting his hands up and focusing on the things of God, on the things that he had been taught, on the things that he felt, and the things that he knew were from God, the utterances of the Spirit of God, my Lord, whenever he began to pray as a 12-year-old boy and began to feel the Holy Ghost working down in his life, or he might have been 7, he might have been 5, I don't know how old he was, when he began to speak in an unknown tongue and began to hear a language that he didn't understand. But he knew that his Father understood. He allowed him to realize that his answers, that his hope, that his satisfaction came through the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the people of God. Praise God. Praise God. Those same answers are for you and I tonight. This world's dark and lost and gone and sorrowful. And the media is crazy. They'll tell you one thing when it's really something else. They'll try to outdo God. You know, a plague comes, they'll tell you about one that's even worse. You know, a plague of frogs come, they'll try to create the same thing. Turn the river into blood, they'll try to turn it into blood. And that constant, they, you know, that, that song, I'm a man of constant sorrow. The news media, we have a news cycle, a news of constant sorrow. That's all they talk about. Sorrow, sorrow, sorrow. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who reigns supreme. Praise God. Let's talk about Him. Let's talk about how great He is and what He's going to do for us, either in this life or the life to come. Hallelujah. Sunday was a wonderful time here. People left here, I know they left here inspired. They left feeling that Spirit of God, that renewed vigor, that inspiration that comes from the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We're in a good place. Yes, our load gets heavy. Yes, we miss some that aren't, you know, those that aren't here. Yes, we are hurting for some that are sick and afflicted. We're in a good place, though. It's our responsibility to be called, chosen, and faithful. Stay on the job. Work, work. I like that song. I'm going to keep on working until He comes. Let's work this road. There's people counting on us. There's people depending upon us to pray for them. There's people depending on us to stay in Jesus' name. There's people depending on us to preach the truth of the Word of God, to keep the lights on in this building, to keep these doors open, thank God, so that when they find that moment in time when they're tired of trusting in the magicians of Egypt, when they're tired of looking at that sorrow around them. You know, if I would have been Moses and Aaron and all I saw was dead frogs and dead cows and dead babies and blood everywhere and lice and boils and flies and all the sorrow and misery that was in Egypt, and I didn't have the hope that they had, you know, that had to get them through. That hope that they found, knowing that God was going to deliver them out of Egypt. My God, they were able to bear it. You and I can bear this sorrow that we find in this world. It's not that great. It might, could be worse. I'm sure it could be worse. It is bad for some right now, and we prayed for them. We're going to keep praying for them. Don't go home tonight and forget about them. forget about their needs. Don't forget about Sister Abraham in the hospital. Don't forget about Brother Wilson, Brother and Sister Smith and their time of need. Don't forget about Brother and Sister Wallace or Brother Ron Johnson and his wife, Beth. Or it was really good to see Brother Ray Weaver here and Sister Susie. Yeah, it was so nice to see them here Sunday. Let's not forget about our people in need, Brother and Sister Crow there in their homes wishing they could be here. Let's not forget about those that are working and trying to make their way. You know, it's not for everybody. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you what, there's some people it's for, and they want to be here. They've got a hope. They've got a greater hope. They've got a greater hope than what they found in this world. They got a greater hope than Pharaoh's magic tricks. They got a greater hope than just dying right there as a slave in Egypt. I don't want to be a slave in Egypt. I don't want to be a slave to Adam. I don't want to be a slave to a religion. I don't want to be a slave to an organization. I don't want to be a slave to a government. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord makes free is free indeed. I want to be a free man. Paul said that he's a child of the New Jerusalem. He's not a child of the bond woman. He's not a child of the slave woman. He's a child of that free woman, the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Praise God. That's you and I, saints. We're children of the Most High God. We're free tonight. We're free to worship Him. We're free to preach the truth. We're free to express ourselves freely in the house of God. Praise God. We're free to worship. Hallelujah. We're free to congregate and gather here in this city as we do a couple times a week. Praise God. We're free to pray. We're free to witness. We're free to testify. We're free to sing. Oh, my Lord, what freedoms we have. Nobody's holding us back, Brother Talley. You're holding the Bible there. Men gave their life to hold a Bible. They didn't even have a Bible. They couldn't even read a Bible. My Lord, we've been given a wonderful blessing of education in this country where we teach our children how to read from a young age. They're encouraged to read. They're encouraged to find themselves studying the Word of God. My Lord, this book right here, I can hold in my hand without fear of death or penalty. Used to that religion would keep this Bible written in Latin in a dead language. Can any of you children here read Latin? No. Used to be that this Bible was written in Latin and it was chained to a pulpit in a church. And the only people that could read it were the priests. And the only thing that the people could believe were what they were told. Y'all believe everything you've been told? No. You're supposed to read it for yourself. The Bible says to search the Scriptures. You'll find life in the Scriptures. Paul praised one of the churches in Revelations because they searched out the Scriptures daily. That's our job. That's where our hope is. Can you imagine? Let's just paint that picture a little bit further. Can you imagine the sound that went through Egypt when all the firstborn were dying? Can you imagine the sorrow that reigned through Egypt when a mother's child was laying there dying, gasping for breath? Can you imagine if you were sitting there in an environment where there was no hope? If you were an Egyptian? I would imagine some of those Egyptians, they probably wanted to get in on the tail end of that wagon train. If the children of Israel are getting out of here, if it's as bad enough for them to leave, I'm going too. Look around you and you got boils on your skin. You got lice that have eaten you up. You got dead cows and rivers full of blood. The Bible says that the locusts came in. I got to eat tonight. I did. I got to eat before church. I know that's a miracle. It don't happen every night, on a Wednesday night. I got to eat a little bite. The Bible says that when the plague of locusts came in Egypt, that it destroyed all the grain. Their food was gone. Their meat was gone. Their grain was gone. Their water was polluted. Where was Pharaoh's magicians then? If you put your trust in the gods of this world, they're going to let you down. I imagine some of those Egyptians wanted to get on the tail end of that wagon train and get out of there. They wanted to get out of Dodge, as the old saying is. But you know that wasn't enough. The children of Israel got out there and they got to murmuring and complaining. That's another story. I'm not going to tell that story tonight. I'm going to tell you about the children of Israel. When they got in that train, the Bible says that they had gold and they had silver and they had robbed, they had borrowed everything from Egypt. Hey, I'm trying to paint a good picture here. They got the children. They got the mama and the daddy. They got their animals that had survived. And they got out of Egypt. They were free. Well, God called us out of Egypt too. And you know, God help us. We've gotten into the land, we've gotten into the wilderness, and we got to complaining, would to God we had bread in Egypt. And some of these services, sometimes they get long and stale. Sometimes they get dry. Sometimes things don't go our way, or sometimes things, you know, it feels like the leadership, like the children of Israel, they said, well, Moses, you've been gone a long time. They got mad at him, built a little golden calf. I don't know how little it was. Might have been, I don't know what the measurement was. I shouldn't say little. They built a golden calf, got to dancing around it. They got to thinking about, like, Lot's wife. They got to looking back where they came from. Sure, all that happened. It's happened to us. We get to thinking about it. Well, I woulda, coulda, shoulda. We get that way. But I'm telling you, I'm so glad I'm not in Egypt. I'm so glad I'm not a child of Babylon anymore. I grew up in Babylon. But God called me out, just like He did you. Praise God. You've got a vision. Protect it. Keep it close to your heart. Hold on to it. Cherish it. My Lord, it's important. It's your salvation. Praise God. All right. We have service here Sunday morning at Bible studies at 10 o'clock. And breakfast at 9:30. Bible study at 10. Service at 11. And then again at Sunday's potluck dinner. And then we have service again at 4 o'clock. And, you know, you just don't know. I mean, like the band. The band sounded awesome Sunday night. After that band practice, they came in. What a joy it is to be in the house of God. Praise God. So let's remember all those loved ones that we have. Let's keep praying for them. Let's be mindful of the needs of our people, our saints, our friends. Through this week, visit them, call them, if you will. And let's stand here and give the Lord a praise for all that He's done. Come back out here again Sunday night or Sunday morning. Praise God. I love you, Lord Jesus. I marvel, Lord, at your great wisdom. I marvel, Lord, at your great power that you just demonstrate among us. Oh God. Oh God. The great blessings that you bestow upon our lives. The love that you show us when we don't deserve it. Oh, what a wonderful Savior you are. The love that you have for us and for your people. Oh, God, and the comfort that you bring when we're in need. Go with us this week, Lord Jesus. Guide us and protect us. Be with us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just want to remind you that there is a Birmingham youth meeting. We are planning to go. If you have intentions to go with us, please get with Sister Gladys or myself.